The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Everybody, Alan Ellis here with Robin.
Good morning.
And we're talking about striped bass, and we have a very special guest on the line, someone who many of our listeners know, have heard on these airwaves a lot in the past, and I just want to introduce Marty Gary. Good morning, Marty.
Hey, good morning, Alan and Robin. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good morning, Marty.
Are you speaking quietly to keep from waking the rest of the house?
Yes.
I figured. Hey, Marty.
Smart man.
Yeah, we've known each other a long time, buddy, have we?
Here we have.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to hear your voice again.
Worked together most recently on the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and then you were at that point, you were the assistant fisheries director. And a lot of fishing groups, you spoke to a lot of those fishing groups around the state and heard on a lot of different programs. I particularly remember the funding for the artificial reef program meeting we had over there at Dick Franio's place. Can't say the name of his restaurant right now. You presented a slide of what the reef program can do in the Chesapeake Bay, and I think at that point we were trying to get the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. Is that right? Or George Washington Bridge? Which was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was the Wilson Bridge.
So
I hopscotched around throughout my years at DNR, which was really a blessing. I got a chance to work with a lot of different groups and.
Mm-hmm.
Recreational, commercial fishermen charter, the public in general, and
yep.
So I think it helped me a lot and helped my future development. And,
sure.
So I was very fortunate.
Was he there when Dad was there?
Yeah, that's what I was leading up to, that meeting on the artificial reef. I remember there were people there from all the organizations, the fishing related organizations. There were lawmakers there. I remember Bill Miles was there. Who was, instrumental in getting that funding. I remember I have a picture of Robin's dad shaking hands with Dick Franio. Little did I know at that time that...
He would marry me.
I would marry Ron Frank's daughter, Robin.
Wow.
So that's who's on the program with us today.
That is absolutely epic Ripley's, right? Ripley's.
Something. It's epic something.
Yeah, my daughter thought he married me just to meet my dad, so.
So, anyway.
So, Robin, your dad is Ron Frank?
Yes, uh-huh.
As in Ron Frank's the secretary?
Yes, that one.
Oh, that guy. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, 40. He's been my...
that's incredible.
57 years of him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
He's in rehab at a nursing home right now, but he is doing well as he can be expected. And
yeah, unfortunately, Ron had a series of strokes.
About 11 years ago, 12 years ago now.
Yeah, yeah. And
I don't want to deviate from our topic area too much, but I can just tell you that I remember pretty vividly talking to your dad, Robin, about... this whole Mari and all these groups coming together to fund this project because we had this opportunity for the Wilson Bridge, but we needed money. You know, but it wasn't, there was no prearranged scenario where we could get the material. It just you know, was a meeting and said, if you have the money, we can get it for you. But he was so supportive, and with the staff under him, with Mike Slattery and Howard King and a bunch of folks, and to really let us do our jobs. So I appreciated your dad's work and service to the citizens.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. There's not much I can't say. I haven't been proud of that he has done. I really think he gave his heart to it, and he loved DNR. He loved working with him, and, you know, so, I think he misses it.
Yep, so, wonderful guy.
Indeed. Still is. So to the topic at hand, there's a meeting on Monday night. Fill us in a little about the meeting and what it's going to be and what it's going to cover. And the public's invited. And how do we get there, and what are we going to see?
So the abridged version, and thank you for talking about this topic, because it's been a little bit concerning to a few of us that, you know, we're as much a striped bass as a fish that stirs passion in people, that we, you know, we're struggling. I think right now we're seeing a public that I really hesitate to say apathetic. I think there's something else going on, but we're just not getting the level of engagement for something as significant as what we're about to, what we're actually embarking upon now, which is a rewrite of how we're going to manage striped bass going into the future for a long, long way. As you mentioned earlier in your previous hour, we use a fishery management plan, and there's a couple of components to that. One is an amendment, which is, I use the analogy, a road, it's the roadway, it's the, and then there's amendments. I'm sorry, there's addendums, right. As you also mentioned. There was one just recently, year before last, was implemented this past year.
Right.
And they're sort of like the triage that you do to the road when there's a pothole or something, you fix it.
Right.
So, but the amendment is the long-range roadmap. And the last time we did it was 2003, so we've been living with this roadmap for a long time. And, you know, the general assessment among the Striped Bass Board, the folks that you also mentioned in a very good way that represent their states on this 15-member commission, you know, their general feedback has been that the current amendment's not serving us as well as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So the board went back and decided to launch this new amendment. And there's a fundamental question, and that's really the easiest way to digest this, is to say, what do you want the striped bass fishery to look like in the future?
Yes.
You can say, everything's just great the way it is, leave it alone. Or you can say, you know what, this isn't working, this is what I'd like to see. I'd like to see more fish, and maybe if we have to get more fish, we have to do things differently, whatever that means. So it's an open-ended question. It's one that's simple in concept to answer, but as you noted, the 10 areas that we've scoped out, the 10 issues, it can get complicated pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure I directly answered your question. But,
oh, you did. Yes, you did. Very, very,
okay.
Very Reader's Digest version, which we appreciate. You know, to make it easier for our listeners to understand, we had a moratorium in the 80s, 1985, I believe, and that's the year you started with DNR. I started a fishing magazine here in 1983. So my first cover was a guy with a rockfish on it, and then they shut it down. So for the first part of the magazine, first several years of the magazine's existence, we had no rockfish season. I think it was a five-year moratorium that opened this fishery in 1990. And I think if you heard the last show, when we talked about rockfish, we still had the record number of calls in 2 hours, 106 calls. Some of them were yes, some of them were no. And the no's overwhelmingly ruled the day, with people who did not want the striped bass season to be reopened in 1990, even after a five-year moratorium, because the fishery was in such bad shape. As we got into the 90s and the fish started to recover, I'm not sure what year the fishery was declared recovered, but the seasons became more and more and more and more liberal, and earlier and earlier and earlier, targeting big spawning fish. And I never agreed, and I still don't agree, with targeting spawning fish, even if it's catch and release. because you've got a big female sow rockfish coming in the bay under hopefully ideal conditions, but mostly not, preparing to drop her eggs to be, you know, fertilized by the males. And all of a sudden, she's snatched out of that process, pulled out of the water, held up aloft, you know, for somebody to take a picture and say, look at what a great fisherman I am. I caught this marvelously big fish, and then put her back in the water. Now, you know, we've had Rudy on here, Rudy Lukakovich, who I know you know well, with his mortality studies on striped bass. And the defense from the department end at the time was, well, these waters are cold. The fish mortality isn't as high when the temperatures are low. And my point is, you're still interrupting that natural process. Then we started opening the trophy season earlier and earlier and earlier. And I think I mentioned before one of the first trophy seasons. I don't remember the date, but it was mid-May, wasn't it, Marty?
It was. It was that first season was 1991 for the trophy season, and its start was May 15th.
Right.
And it was one fish per person, I think, something like 36 inches.
I think it was 36 inches. Yeah, I think it was 36 inches. So, but, you know, now look where we've gone. We've liberalized the season so much. And now, in the last couple of years, we've become more concerned about dead discards. You know, the fish that are even, you know, hooked with a circle hook, taken out of the water, undersized fish taken out of the water, unhooked and released, there's a hook. Those fish are going to die anyway, no matter how well they've been handled or how conservatively they've been handled because of increased water temperature, increased air temperature. Am I saying that correctly?
You are. That's one of the contributing factors to what they call release mortality. You catch a fish, you want to let it go to swim and live another day and let somebody else catch it. And sometimes the environmental conditions, the handling, there's a number of factors that play into the survival of that fish. And there's an estimate, even though we know the release mortality can broadly vary depending on all those conditions you and I just talked about. To generally assume rate of 9%. So if you have 100 fish, you're lucky enough to get out there and a bunch of breaking birds and 3 hours worth of fish, and you catch and release 100 fish, there's going to be an assumption that 9% of those die. But it can vary. It can, during hot weather and poor handling, it could be much higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
During cold weather, it could be much lower than that. But they use 9% as a release mortality de facto standard.
So these are the reasons, you know, the increase in the commercial catch, the increase in the recreational catch in particular, and not having any way to monitor the recreational catch to know exactly how many fish are being impacted, how many fish are being taken from the ecosystem, is the and the reduced recruitment. I mentioned there were only two really good year classes in the last 20-some years of you know, young of the year indexes. And now we've not hit that target again in the 2020 young of the year survey. Am I right?
Yeah,
that baseline.
There. So, yeah, you're pretty close. So let me, the recruitment thing is really, really big. This, like I said, this can get complicated quickly. Release mortality, which we were just talking about, is something that the board members have talked about extensively, and you're going to hear a lot more about it.
Right.
But that recruitment component is really one of the things that's driving this whole discussion, or lack of it. So recall the boom days going back through, like, say, the mid-90s into 2003, mm-hmm. 4, 5, even maybe up to 6. That was driven by three of the biggest year classes in record, three of the largest young of the year indices. So in more recent years, the last decade, we had a big year class in 2011. It was the fourth biggest ever. So it's a super year class. In 2015 was the eighth biggest. It was a decent year class. But But in the last 10 years, and even going back to 2006, take it back another 15 years, generally we've had mediocre to below average reproduction. And so if you talk to fishery managers up and down the coast from Maine to North Carolina that are part of the management of the species, what you're going to hear is over and over again, if we don't get better recruitment, some change is going to have to occur. I'm just telling you what I hear. That's mm-hmm. the conversation I get. Right. As recently as last week, I talked to a couple of the directors. And so this recruitment, which is highly variable in any given year, but is environmentally driven, you know, we can't control that. But what we're experiencing is weaker recruitment. And so, as you noted, there's been a liberalization in fishing over the years, incrementally going from the beginning when we reopened in 1990 to now, but not just in Maryland, right? Up and down the coast. So this species has seen pretty much open fishing seasons across the spectrum of its geographic range.
Right.
And so here we are in a situation where, you know, there's you know, since 2015, it's just been okay in a couple of not-so-good year classes. So there are repercussions to that. You're just not going to see the fish coming into the pipeline. And what I think you're seeing in this management response to draft this amendment is we're not in a situation like we were back in the early 80s where we had one year class left. I mean, we had a few fish here and there from other year classes, but that was the only really strong year class. But at the same time, the public is certainly sending a message now. We don't ever want to have to revisit that kind of discussion again.
Right.
So that's why we're sitting down and talking. And it's frustrating for us, the folks that are sitting in my seat, because as important as this issue is, and as good as communication is and easy as it is, I'm sitting in my kitchen here talking through
right.
my, you know, to you. People, they're not showing up the way you remember. You said at the beginning there how you had hundreds of calls.
Yeah.
We're just not seeing it. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, I think. But part of my job is to try to do everything possible to reach out, to get people to tell us what they want to see. And, you know, hopefully they'll come to the table. This is going to be a long process. This is just the start of it.
Yep. All right. Well, let's leave it there for a second. We'll take our first commercial break here. We'll come back and we'll let's pretty much focus. We've kind of focused on why you guys are looking at this. Let's focus on how the public can get involved and really cover these public documents and the you know that are out there. If anybody wants to see what they are, you know, and we'll come back from the break and tell our listeners how the public can get involved. Okay.
Sounds great.
All right. That sounds good to me, too. So you've put it off long enough, and spring has sprung. It's time to dress up that backyard for fun times with your family and friends. And you drive right past Backyard Billy's if you run 50 at all this weekend, if you're going to the ocean or, you know, anytime you're here on the Eastern Shore, you're going to see Backyard Billy's. You just don't know. It's exit 44. So as you're going down 50 and you're thinking about, you know, something, all of a sudden exit 44 pops up in your mind because you've heard it from me. Look to your right, and there's Backyard Billy's right at the end of Kent Narrows. And it's your go-to place for making backyards fun. It's time to dress up your backyard, your deck, your patio, whatever it might be. There's a giant selection there of colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture, including tables and chairs, especially those Adirondack chairs. They can see those from Route 50 at Exit 44 right as you come off Kent Narrows. You'll find swing sets, tiki bars, and storage sheds in Backyard Billy's backyard. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to the Maryland beaches and Delaware beaches. Now, inside, you really need to get off that exit. Go inside the huge showroom. You can check out the barbecue grills by Traeger, Big Green Egg, and Kamado Joe. There's a huge assortment of outdoor fire pits, and some of them are really fascinating, and rings, too, and freestanding deck umbrellas. Freestanding deck umbrellas. You don't have to put that umbrella down through the hole in the middle of the table. No, you got the big base on there, and the umbrella will shade your whole deck. Browse the great-looking garden decorations and furniture for any lifestyle theme and budget, and Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. BackyardBilly's.com, call 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44, Graysonville. Your backyard's going to look great. From Backyard Billy's, that number again, 410-827-4500. Clyde, Sport Shop is your place to go for any type of fishing tackle for any type of fish. Doesn't matter if it's bait casting or trolling or spinning tackle, ultra light, heavy duty, trout, panfish, bass, striped bass, you name it, Clyde Sports Shop has the tackle. They have the bait, too. They have the live bait and the minnows if you want to do some live bait fishing. If you want to go for snakehead, they've got some advice on that, too. Why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. When you're ready to go fishing, stop and get some bait, stop and get some ice, stop and get yourself a few new fishing lures, and head out to the water. 410-242-6108, Clyde's Sports Shop. Let's see. Anything else I have to say? Yes, there is. Hang on. Had to look at my little cheat sheet. So, Robin, you ready for April 24th?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You going to be there? People can meet you? See your smiling face?
There's a 75% chance.
75% chance. Sound like a weather forecaster. Bay Country Crab and Supply at Edgewater invites you to their new location, 3137 Solomon's Island Road, on the northbound side near Advanced Auto Parts. Give them a call, 410-956-0300. Bay Country Crabbing Supply has everything you need for recreational and commercial crabbing and freshwater title and bay fishing tackle, too. Now Bay Country Crab and Supplies a new hunting department, complete with Hoyt, Prime, and Matthews bows, with more stuff on the way. Bay Country Crab and Supply, stackable traps, commercial pots, rig trot lines, trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of fishing, tackle, and gear. Bay Country Crab and Supply's open house is April 24th, and we will be broadcasting from there from 5 to 7 a.m. For more information, call 410-956-0300. Attention watermen, bring your license for your discounts. That's 410-956-0300 for Bay Country Crab and Supply, baycountrycrabandsupply.com. We'll be right back.
Oh, a nice spring preview unfolding before us this weekend. Beautiful sunshine this afternoon. We're up to 57 degrees. Low tonight, not as cold, mid-30s. And 62 with some sunshine to enjoy for tomorrow. Business week featuring mid and upper 60s. Maybe we've turned a corner here into spring and temperatures in the mid and upper 60s Wednesday through Friday with some rain showers, some spring showers showing up for the new work week. I'm Scott Laurie Moore at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We all want clean water, and that pond on your family's property really needs cleans. Vegetation has overtaken it, and sediment is slowly filling it in. You know, something needs to be done, and you have questions. What chemicals can I use? Will the fish die? Do I have to hire some guy with a backhoe? How expensive will it be? Legacy Waters Environmental Services has the answers. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is a family-owned, Maryland-based company that has invested in the specialized equipment that hydraulically removes sediment and vegetation from ponds, lakes, and waterways. They use no chemicals. The fish remain alive with no need to restock, and the choking vegetation and invasive plants are gone. Gone. The best part is, Legacy Waters Environmental Services is committed to providing affordable solutions which will revitalize your pond. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is dedicated to leaving the smallest possible footprint and to preserve the quality of your waterway for generations. To learn more or schedule an appointment to review what your pond requires, visit the website legacywatersenv.com or call 410-357-1622. And you can see the job site videos on the Legacy Waters Facebook page. Call 410-357-1622 for Legacy Waters Environmental Services, leaving water better than when we found it. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, a weekend warrior, your Line-X bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any other kind of tools, your Line-X bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Line-X at Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Catonsville Line-X is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Line-X at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Line-X can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called ValueGuard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Bay Line-X at Glen Burnie or Catonsville Line-X install your Line-X spray-on, truck bed liner, and truck gear today. Line-X. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
Cakes and rockfish too. We thank the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his folks, the way he makes his living. Talking about the man, talking about the water man. I'm talking about the man trying to line the crabs, tonguing oysters and working the beef. Talking about the man who makes his living on the water every day. I'm talking about the man.
All right, we're talking about the water man. Put a pun up to Marty Gary. Marty, your current position. Your current position is with the Potomac River Fisheries Commission. You're the executive secretary, correct?
That is correct, Alan. I left DNR after 27 years and went down to Potomac River Fisheries Commission in 2013. So it's a little bi-state commission that's made up of commissioners from Maryland, Virginia. They're my bosses. I have four appointees from the governor of Maryland, four from the governor of Virginia. To co-manage the river. It's kind of a unique situation, and it's been a great learning experience for me. But, so not a whole lot of folks know about PRFC, but we are part of this, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Cooperative, and really enjoyed my time there.
That's great. Well, guess what? We have a caller on the line, somebody you may know. Let's say hello to Uncle Dale from Easton. Good morning, Dale.
Alan, Robert, good morning. Marty.
Morning.
Marty, I trust you well and your family's well.
They are, Dale, and it's so great to hear your voice. You are one of my great mentors, and
we have a lot of time together. I have to ask real quickly: is the LSU Alabama feud still going on?
It is every fall that my two kids, Dale's referring to, one went to Alabama, one went to LSU, and now it's worse, Dale, because my school is in the same conference, but. My school is no threat, Texas A&M, to those two. They just look at us as an annoyance, but it's fun.
That's cool.
That's funny.
Marty, I'm curious as to, Alan, I think Alan's going to talk about this, the level of public comment participation. Have you seen a fall off in that over the years? Because memory, I'm reminded of when this fishery first reopened, if you'll recall the the flotilla that accompanied the striped bass folks on the Seine survey. If you'll recall that, you know, just to verify the numbers. I mean, there were 8 or 10 boats that were, you know, that would be right there on the beach watching what Eric and Beth did, and it was strange. But that was just such a high level of public participation. And has that fallen off over the years?
Yeah, I don't have any hard numbers, Dale, to fall back on, but I think I see the same observation that you do. It's almost like a paradox, right? The communication is easier now than it ever has. Everybody has a cell phone they walk around with.
Yeah.
Everybody has social media and Facebook that chooses to use it. And it's easy to get messages and talk and share thoughts, but yet we hold these public hearings and we can't get people to show up for them. Even before COVID hit, attendance at a lot of meetings just, you know, hasn't been what it was, what we remember, Dale, you and I, back in those early days. And maybe part of that was driven by, you know, the moratorium being lifted, and as you said, there was a lot of skepticism. You had, you know, God bless him, Keith Walters, who's very passionate, wrote the book Chesapeake Striper,
yep,
but questioned the Hambrooks Bar issue and whatnot.
Yeah,
but, you know, I think you're right overall. It's been very challenging and frustrating at times to get the public's awareness up, and this is unprecedented, right? I mean, you and me, we only see something like this happen a couple of times in our life, and just don't want people to miss the chance to provide their knowledge and their experience to guide the decision making.
Yep. Well, let's get to that part while Dale's with us. Okay, let's get to that part. How do we get the public involved, Marty? What's going on? We got a meeting on Monday. Tell the folks how they can participate.
Yeah, so it's sort of a double-edged sword, right? So in the old days, prior to the pandemic, the meetings would be held in person.
Right.
So the downside of that is if you were from Maryland and there was a meeting for the Maine folks, it was supposed to be for Maine or it was supposed to be for New York or
right,
wherever, you'd have to go there in person. And so not a lot of people would drive and come to those meetings, but except for the folks that are close by for the state it's designed. Maryland's meeting, as you noted, is Monday, so the timing of this discussion is really good. But now with COVID and a lack of ability to meet in person, mm-hmm, everything's being done virtually. They call it virtually, you know,
sure,
through your computer or your smartphone. So there's basically three ways to participate, say, in the Monday meeting, which starts at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So the optimum way is if you're fortunate enough to have a computer, you can go to asmfc.org and find it on their calendar. It's all over their webpage. You can see the meetings.
Right.
And you basically, it's a two-step process. You click to register and you have to have email. So there's another contingency, right? So if you're an older person who doesn't have all that stuff going and doesn't understand it, it becomes a challenge. But you register, you get an email back with your registration code, and at the time of the meeting, which is 6 o'clock on Monday for the Maryland meeting, you click on that access code link, and it launches into your web browser and puts you into the meeting.
Okay.
So if you have proficiency and you know how to do it, it's pretty easy to get in. You use your computer audio, and they have you use your screen to see the presentation that will be provided in the background.
Right.
And then there's a couple people that moderate the discussion.
Okay.
You can also call in through a smartphone. You can also call in through a phone. But if you call in through the phone, only a phone, it's a dedicated line to listen. You can't really talk, which is unfortunate.
I got it. Okay. Okay, so you go to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, ASMFC.org, to listen. You go on their site, you can click to register, you type in your email, they send you a confirmation at the time of the meeting, you click on the confirmation link, and you are entered into the meeting. And your computer, the meeting will come up on your computer screen. Now, are you just going to see a PowerPoint presentation, or are you going to actually see people in the room? How's that work, Marty? Marty, can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry, I muted myself for a second.
Okay.
Good question. So when you get in, you're going to see basically a slide, a PowerPoint. It's going to be a PowerPoint show.
Okay.
And which is good. You know, a lot of folks have tried these Zoom meetings and
right.
In meetings where everybody's faces are.
Yeah.
Which is maybe okay for a small group, but you really want to focus people on the content. And I've found personally that, you know, everybody's seeing everybody's faces as good as it is to see
right.
Folks. It's a distraction. But you'll see just the PowerPoint show.
Sure. Okay. I got it. Now, we did post that PowerPoint on the Outdoors and Radio Show Facebook page, I believe, yesterday. And you can go on there if you want to look at that link. Anybody that wants to email me, Ellis at Ellis Outdoors, I will send you all the links you want to read all these documents. Just Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. Marty, you mind if I just forward your email to them with all the links?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. I'm happy to help people out as best we can.
Got it.
This is a Maryland meeting coming up, so I'm going to listen in, but I stay kind of out of it.
Yeah.
PRC had their meeting, but, you know, the blessing here is people, if they can, it's great to hear other perspectives. I listened in on the Massachusetts hearing on Thursday, and it was an absolutely fascinating discussion to hear their positions on this resource.
Massachusetts.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Massachusetts.
Yeah, but I think it's cool he can go without having to go anywhere.
Yeah, you can look on any state meeting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, go to the schedule, and you can, you know, if you want to listen to however many meetings are left, you know, you can listen to all of them if you like, but the Maryland one is Monday. And Maryland is unique because of the Chesapeake Bay. We have a caller on the line who may be able to speak to this. Now, we're going to have to take a break here in about 10 minutes, but let's talk to Dave Sikorsky. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Alan.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Sorry for my tardiness this morning.
It's all right, but it happens. Marty, you're on the line with Marty Gary, and I think Dale...
Weinrich
is on the line as well, former fisheries manager.
You're welcome, Dale.
Chesapeake Bay. Dale, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, Dale, you remember the meeting you and I went to prior to the last addendum down in Cambridge, just filled with watermen. And Dave was there, and I invited him to be a guest on the show at that point. So, Dave, you've been listening to some of this conversation, and I know you are the proxy for Delegate Dana Stein on the board of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. So you're intimately involved in these discussions.
Absolutely, yes.
Have you attended some of the other states' meetings, the virtual meetings online?
I have. I was actually attended part of the Potomac River Fisheries Commission meeting.
Okay.
Had to jump off for other meetings. So I've also been able to just follow along on the commission's YouTube page.
Right.
They have a pre-recording of the presentation. I'm not sure if you all had talked about that yet. I know you
talked
about
that. Yeah, we posted that YouTube link on the Outdoors and Radio Show Facebook page yesterday. So
right.
There you are. So how... Tell me about your input on this. What are your thoughts from the recreational angling point of view? I know you're also executive director of the Coastal Conservation Association.
Yes. So in my role at CCA, I've been paying attention to this issue for quite some time and
sure.
As an organization. And we've been in place here in Maryland for 26 years. So this fish is obviously important to all of us here, being our state fish. And it's concerning to see its stock or its status. of this stock in decline. And CCA as a whole has been providing input to the board for many years, as I said, and always been concerned about controlling fishing mortality. And unfortunately, now we know that, that probably we haven't the way we should have in the past. And we put together, from a CCA perspective, we put together a guide on Amendment 7 that's available on our website,
okay.
CCAMD.org,
okay.
/striped bass. Folks can find that there. And there's a lot of different things that we've provided to anglers in the past, all under that page, and kind of gives our... We try and tell a story as to what happened with striped bass over the last many years.
Sure.
And you know, recreational anglers are the coastwide, are, you know, of course, a major source of mortality. In the last stock assessment, we saw that that release mortality, or what's called a dead discard,
mm-hmm.
a fish that would die after we release it, is a big source of mortality coastwide. The ratios of, you know, that type of mortality versus others vary depending where you are, and there's the devil's truly in the details in this thing, but you know it's important to dig in and understand what we're doing, because recreational anglers, it doesn't seem like somebody going out and catching one fish or two fish can have an effect. There's a lot of us, so it does add up to a lot of fish coming home, and we have to be concerned about that and make sure that we turn this decline around.
Exactly. So do you feel like? Even in your own organization, we've talked about this for a little bit, and Marty and Dale brought it up basically. But Marty and I have talked about it. And are the anglers as interested as they used to be, or is it still ignorance and apathy rule the day?
It's hard to say. I find a lot of people engage in conversation on social media, but not as many people seem to. Attend meetings and engage and provide public input. And, I think it all depends on how folks engage with the agency and how they feel, whether or not they feel agencies, management agencies are listening to them. I know there's quite a bit of frustration in the recreational angling ranks based on the Addendum 6 measures that were put in place where various things were done and the charter folks in the charter industry that sign up for the FACT system can catch two fish for their clients, but a private angler can only catch one. You know, that was a bit frustrating for many in that are private anglers, and with the last management action with the commercial fishery not taking much cut-wise.
Right, they did not.
A lot of folks. And so when folks engage and provide a lot of public comment and weigh in and feel like their voice is not heard or not listened to, they get frustrated, and that's a big part of my job to try and stay optimistic and encourage people to weigh in, because whether you're listened to or not, whether you get what you want or not, you still need to stay engaged. You have to be at the table. You have to respect everybody that has an interest in this fishery and try and work through everything to try and find solutions. So I think there is a bit of apathy out there right now, and folks need to get engaged and need to weigh in. And my phone's always on, and frankly, I've already had a lot of conversations with a lot of stakeholders here in Maryland expressing concerns and sharing their opinions.
Yep. All right. Well, I appreciate that. And I'm guessing I hear Marty in the background going, amen. I hear Dale in the background going, amen. Is that correct? You know, we just gotta get involved with this action if we care about the fishery. That's the whole thing. You know, it's always let somebody else do it. So, all right.
Alan, I think I'm going to raise a few hackles with this, but striped bass is as political now as it was 40 years ago.
No question.
It's
no
a question. Political animal, and it will always be a political animal. And I can tell you for a fact there are factions within the department that just keep it as a political animal.
I got it. Hang on, guys. Let me take this break, and we'll get right back so we have a few minutes to wrap up, okay? The question is, do you have a beautiful fireplace hole in your wall that sucks the heat out of the room and you never use it? It's too much trouble. I don't want to haul wood. I don't want to split wood. I don't want to drag messy wood into the house. I don't want to start the fireplace and not have the flue open and all this stuff. Well, guess what? We fixed that. Robin and I fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected Backyard Billy's to supply our Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert after disappointing visits to several other Delmarva locations. Hearth America did the installation. They provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service. And we both enjoy the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands of fireplace inserts. Now's the perfect time to own a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop into the showroom, Route 50 at Exit 44, and be ready for next year's cold weather now. Visit BackyardBillies.com, the Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billies open 7 days a week, Route 50 at Exit 44. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billies is the fireplace. Hey, let's all head over to Clyde Sports Shop if you want to go fishing this weekend. It's going to be beautiful weather. Perch are running. Stop in and get your darts and your minnows and your bloodworms and whatever else you need for fishing for perch. Trout season's right around the corner. They've got all the trout baits. They've got all the trout hooks. They've got all the bobbers. They've got all the terminal tackle you could ever possibly need, want, or imagine at Clyde Sport Shop. Anything and everything for every type of fishing. Crabbing season's not that far away. Yes, indeed. They'll be rolling out the crabbing supplies as well. So why not stop by? 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit Number 9. That phone number is 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. You might want to take a look at the turkey shotgun, too. And don't forget about the St. Croix rods, beautiful fishing rods from a company called St. Croix. 410-242-6108, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's Clyde's Sports Shop. Been around since 1957. That's a long time ago. I've got somebody else to talk about here. There it is. All right. Chris, have I done that? Have I done everything live that I'm supposed to do? I can't find my spot schedule.
I believe you have.
Why don't we play the rest of the commercials then? Yeah. And if not, I'll take the hit.
We all want clean water. So does your community have a yucky sediment pond in the development and your homeowners association doesn't know what to do about it? Is your local golf course water hazard choking with weeds and sediment? Is your farm pond or waterfowl impoundment not friendly to fish and waterfowl anymore? What about your community pond owned by the town or county? Does your local marina have to deal with overgrown vegetation every year? If you said yes, here's the solution. Legacy Waters Environmental Services. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is a family-owned, Maryland-based company that is invested in the specialized equipment that hydraulically removes sediment and vegetation from ponds, lakes, and waterways. They use no chemicals. The fish remain alive, and the choking vegetation and invasive plants are gone. They're gone. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is dedicated to leaving the smallest possible footprint to preserve the quality of your waterway for generations to come. To learn more or schedule an appointment to review what your pond requires, visit the website legacywatersenv.com or call 410-357-1622. And you can see the job site videos on the Legacy Waters Facebook page. Call 410-357-1622 for Legacy Waters Environmental Services, leaving water better than when we found it. Alan Ellis here for Line-X Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Line-X Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, or weekend warrior, your Line-X Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, and any kind of tools. Your Line-X Bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Catonsville Line-X is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Cadenceville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called Value Guard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Cadenceville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex! Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection. Ammunition, too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Hey, we're back, guys. We have about 2 minutes to wrap it up. I want to thank especially Marty Gary for coming in this morning and spending the hour with us as far as the information on the public meeting and particular remarks about getting people engaged. Dale from Easton, thanks for staying on the line with us. And Dave Sikorsky, CCA Executive Director, from your perspective, said some very interesting things about our recreational anglers out there. Not in a negative way, but we just have to get more engaged. I mean, we are part of the problem, and we need to be part of the solution. So appreciate all three of you guys coming on board.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, thank you, Alan.
All right. So,
hey, everybody, breakfast for being late.
Take you up on that.
come back again, and we'll get that straight.
Yeah, we'll do it again. And, you know, as we get closer, we'll have you guys back as we get closer to the process. But right now, you know, the public input is only available on the first part of this till, I believe, April 8th. Is that the date?
April 9th.
April 9th, okay. Got it. So if you want to get engaged in striped bass management for the next 20 years, now's the time to act. So Dave Sikorsky, Marty Gary, Dale Weinrich, thank you guys for being on board. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Y'all have a great day.
Okay,
Marty. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll be in touch later this week. Take care now. All right. Chris, there's our show for the day. I know the music is about to start, and Robin's about to wish everybody well. And I won't step on her this week.
You can step on me.
Nah, I'm not going to step on you. I'll say something first, though.
Okay.
Okay. Folks, look, this is your fishery. Okay? It's not as good as it was. It's time for fisheries managers to make some changes. You can be a part of that process. This is your fishery. And now it's Robin's turn.
Everybody, get out, stay safe, be involved, and let's keep fishing.